Welcome aboard for hour number two. Hi, this is Foster Brown, your co-host and the producer of the program, along with Ed Riddell and Cal Carson. We're standing by to take your questions and find some answers for you. Glad to see some folks are calling in early. We got plenty of room here. Give us a call at 800-859-0957. Again, that's 800-859-0957. And we are ready to tackle your questions and find you some answers. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, hour number two, and that's when we get your questions and we try to find some answers for you as well. By the way, Ed, I wanted to say, if you go to internetadvisor.net, Ed, your picture is posted there as well.
What?
Yes, the picture that you took and sent to me of that QR code that was on the side of the road.
Oh, it's a good
on
thing.
I-75.
It's a good thing my brother-in-law dusted my dashboard. And I don't advise doing that at 70 miles an hour going. So yeah, I took that picture driving down northbound 75 just past Crooks. And as many of you know, there's construction and they have the QR codes posted on the right-hand side of the screen, basically saying for autonomous vehicles, for testing purposes only, 3 miles to right lane ends, 2 miles to right lane ends,
oh, wow.
1 mile.
So. That's cool.
And I caught one of them.
That's pretty cool. And he caught it, so it gives you an idea of what it looks like. Anyway.
Sounds like an old country and western song. The QR code at the side of the road as I drove along in my autonomous vehicle.
All right, let's head into our calls and say hello to Robert from Bedford. Did I get that right, Robert?
Yes, Bedford Township. It's about 5 miles north from the Toledo border.
Ah, okay. Down by the border. Okay, well, how can we help you this afternoon, Robert?
Yes. I have a two-part question.
Yes.
I have a 27-inch iMac computer. It's about 4.5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know, number one, what is the correct operating temperature of a Mac? What is the temperature? And the second thing I wanted to know, how do I find out, how can I check my computer to see if it's operating at a normal temperature or if it's running hot?
There are a number of, you can go out on the net and look for a number of testing programs that you can download that will show you the temperature of your CPU, and it'll tell you if your fans are running and how fast they're running and the RPMs and everything on that. And you can just go out and search for it. There's a number of them out there.
Now, your Macs also support the ability to go to the Apple App Store, right? So they could search for a free utility in there as well, right?
They certainly could.
Right.
So, yeah, I would just go out and look for anything out there in that particular thing. The exact temperature for that sort of situation, you could probably do some searching on Apple's knowledge base and perhaps find that. There's so many models out there that I can't tell you which temperature for that particular model should be.
Okay, I'll take a look at the App Store first, see if I can find an app, and then I'll look on the Internet for if I can't find anything in the App Store.
Well, you know, that brings up a magic question. Why are you concerned about the temperature? Is it running too hot?
Well, I've noticed over the past a month or so that the fan is running constantly. It never shuts off. It just runs and runs and runs. And I was just wondering, is it running constantly because it's overheating, or is that normal? Because if you go back, like, say, 3-4 months ago, it would run for a while and stop.
Yeah.
Run and stop. Now it's just running. It will not stop at all until I shut off the computer.
Okay, now there's two things that come to mind when I hear that situation going on. One's physical, and one is, for lack of a better way, mental. When I say mental, what I mean is that probably somewhere in your operating system, there's something constantly running in the background that's creating a lot of CPU usage, which is creating a lot of heat to go, and therefore turns the fans on.
So, because on a Mac, every time you shut it down, when you relaunch it again, all the same apps are still opened up, right?
Depending on whether or not you have that button saying to open up everything over again.
Exactly.
So, one of the things that I would do is this. Shut your Mac down, and then when you power it up, hold down the Option key, the Command key, the R and the P key, and then hit the power button and continue to hold those four keys down.
Command, Option,
okay.
PR.
Correct. You'll hear it boot up and do the chime, and then it'll go black, and it'll boot up again and do the chime, and then go black, and it'll boot up one more time and do the chime.
And the whole time you're holding those four keys.
Correct. On that third chime, let the keys go and let it boot up on its own. that should do a PRAM reset of all the hardware, firmware in the computer, and that may eliminate the issue for you. The second thing that I'm suspecting is because it's a four-year-old computer, depending on the environment where you have that computer working at, you may want to swing it around and on the top edge on the back and on the bottom edge on the back and on the bottom underneath the display are gratings. You may want to take a vacuum cleaner and lightly vacuum out all those different areas so you can get proper airflow going to the machine. They may be slightly clogged, and therefore it's not getting enough air to keep it cool on a regular basis.
Right, especially if you have pets.
Oh, yes, I do that all the time. I check the back to make sure that all the ports, everything
good,
is nice and clean.
Good. Yeah, yes. And even with an iMac, you need to do that.
Yeah, make sure.
The old PCs, when you had them on the floor and you got a cat or dust bunnies or whatever, that became a big problem.
And that's any electronic device that has fans on it. It's going to suck air in, and with the air, it's going to come dirt. So you want to make sure that all those ports, not just the ports, but the vents on the top of the machine, along the edge, you'll see a slit that's vents. And there's also a slit on the bottom, and underneath the display, there's a grating. Make sure all those places are nice and clear. Sometimes on the grating on the bottom and in the slits, I take an old toothbrush or a new one, if you don't have an old one, and run it in those slits as you vacuum, and that really gets all that dirt out of it.
Okay, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Sounds good.
Cool. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Great questions to ask, and let me give you the number again, 800-859-0957. Paul and Walter, from Ohio, we are going to be getting back to you in just a moment. But the phone lines are open, and we've opened the floodgates to the questions as well. We'll be back to start answering more of those questions as we delve further into this hour of the Internet Advisor, your hour, 800-859-0957. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor and Eric Dortch, our engineer. Thank you so much for your dedicated efforts to help us here on the show. And let's go back out now to Jim from Westland. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Jim, how can we help you?
Okay, there's advice from a friend of mine today. I haven't looked up the information when I told you about Lime, and I'm told Lime is better than Skype, FaceTime, or Ubu. Have you found any information and research on Lime? L-I-M-E.
L-I-M-E.
Well, Oracle makes a product for asset management and license management called Lime. There used to be a product called Lime that allowed you to download music illegally, music and videos called Lime.
Like Lime Digital. I looked it up, and there was something in the UK and in Great Britain that was called Lime Digital, but I'm having a hard time. I thought when you first mentioned when we were setting up the call and you mentioned it, I thought, boy, this will be easy to find because, as Ed was saying, it's something I remember as being something that we used very often, like Tor software, to download music or movies or whatever. And as a result, was dangerous because there's a lot of viruses.
Now, there might be on a Linux system, there's a piece of software called Lime, which is used for chatting.
That's the one we're referring to, the chat one.
So I've only think I've seen that on Linux, pre-installed. And I'm sure there might be a PC version of that.
Well, my friend's running one on Apple, and she says it works better than Skype, and it includes phone calls with it. Now, when I use phone calls on Skype to patch into the radio broadcast I do across the country, if you dial an 800 number, it doesn't cost you anything, whether it's 850, 888, whatever it is. But when you dial anything without an 800, you're taking away the credits you paid for.
Now, is this called Lime Chat?
I think it might be. And the lady's running it on an Apple computer.
Yep. Yeah, I found something out there. It runs under Mavericks and Mountain Lion. But if you've gone above those levels for the OS, it appears that it's not going to work for that.
Oh, it's an I got
And you. So that would explain why I saw it on a Linux, because it runs, you know, Linux in the background and it comes pre-installed. So, yeah, there probably was a version that worked on the Mac. Who knows if they've updated it since, and probably not.
As we're looking around here, we can't seem to find it anyway.
Well, I did find it.
I'm
sorry. But I don't see anything for a current version of
the OS. Everything's always greener on the other side of the fence. You know, someone says that something works excellent and try it, but, you know, Skype's really good, but, you know, sometimes you can get the echoes, you know.
Well, I don't get echoes. I put on my headset, so if my other party at the other end's got their speakers up, I'm not echoing on theirs. If you wear a headset, you cut out the echo.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So the only reason why you're interested in this is because someone said that they use it and
well, they have a son that lives in Japan, and they set it up for them, and they said it works fantastic.
You know, now that you mentioned that, by the way, it was interesting because I was just on that page for limechat.net/Mac, and Japanese is there. So apparently it may have to do with a piece of software that people in Japan are more familiar with.
Gotcha.
It's available in the United States because the lady that's running it is living in the Michigan area.
We understand.
Yeah, but we don't know that much about it at all.
Sorry.
But thanks for bringing it to our attention.
Yeah, okay, but before you go, the thing about the fan, I'm a big fan of my Mac computer because it's got better resolution than most 4K TVs, speaker quality of a Bose speaker, which I think I applaud it, and it never heats up. Now, I had the Mac before that used to heat up a little bit, but never much to cause a problem. So, but I never hear my fan running at all. The computer stays cool. I've never had it hot, and the last one I bought, it's 2.5 years old.
Yeah, Jim, I can say this, by the way, for the MacBook Pro from 2011 that I had would heat up, still heats up. But the new MacBook Pro that I have, 2016, not a thing. It runs cool, no matter how much I'm doing on it. It's amazing.
Yeah, they shave the gerbils before they put them in there.
That was funny. By the way, the best thing about autonomous cars, if they cut down the insurance costs when people less critical actions to make them crippled, less to kill them, assurance for your car will be more affordable in Michigan. That's what Michigan's striving for, better car insurance, and autonomous cars could affect it in a positive direction.
Very good point, Jim. Thanks so much for giving us a call.
Boy, there's an optimistic person there, because if I know insurance company, nothing ever goes down.
Yeah, I know.
They'll just pocket the profits.
Oh, dear. Paul,
I got to echo that with you.
That's the pessimist.
Yeah. It's very rare I've ever seen insurance go down.
It will not.
Paul from Farmington Hills, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hey, how are you this afternoon? Hey, Foster, I'm a big fan. I've been listening to WJR since the 1960s. So
yeah, great.
I was young, but I did. But I, you know, and I listened to this show quite some time. By the way, I'm calling about autonomous cars, and I hope you'll bear with me here.
But let me say about
I have a Hewlett Packard Spectra. Are you guys familiar with the 360? What a beautiful machine! Now it's very expensive. It's a touchscreen. It's got incredible speed and graphics and. Anyway, that's a Hewlett Packard. Are you guys familiar with that?
No, I'm not. We used to work for Hewlett Packard maybe 3.5 years ago. So no, I don't even remember.
I've seen the brand before.
Have you?
Yes, it's like along with their Alienware. It's one of those higher line.
Yes. Oh, gaming systems.
Yes. Yeah. It's not necessarily for gaming, but it's one of their high line brands, like the Alienware.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yes, it's a. You know, you can fold it over. It's a touchscreen. No, it's expensive, but if someone is going to spend the money at a place like a Best Buy, for example, I would certainly recommend it.
My daughter's in the market, and she asked me, thinking that, hey, you're on the Internet Advisor. Why don't you recommend a PC? And I'm like, I can't, honey. You know, but you as a consumer, you've purchased this. How old is your unit? And if you don't mind me asking, how much did it cost approximately?
Yeah, it was close to $2,000 with tax. So it wasn't inexpensive at all. Mm-hmm.
But you loaded it, didn't you? I mean, it sounds like you're running an i7 with 16 gigs of RAM kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's the mid range. Everything's mid, but it's a beautiful, sleek little what are the sizes in terms of inches? I forget what they come in. But,
well, this is 13. It's a 13. One I'm looking here is 13-inch that they have. And this is the one where you can flip the screen over, right?
That's what I just said. Yes, is it a 360? I forget.
Yes.
It's
called the Spectre. Yeah, 360.
Okay, what was your question? Did you just want to talk about autonomous vehicles?
No, I wanted to talk about autonomous vehicles. Guys, I hope I don't offend anybody.
Sure.
Let me just tell you this. I think the idea is ludicrous, and it will not lower insurance, it'll raise it. Let me just give you anecdotal, and this isn't anecdotal, this is every day. Okay, so I'm in my late 50s. I'm aware, I'm invested, I drive, I have great reflexes because I'm an athlete. I still compete with 18-year-olds, right?
Okay.
So the thing is, and it's true, and I'm not bragging, I'm saying that because I drive like, you know, my grandchild is in the next car over. So dig this.
Good.
I go to cut my son's lawn, who lives in Huntington Woods. I live in Farmington Hills, so I jump on 696 at the Nixon Bowl, right? You know what that is, Telegraph, right?
Right.
Just between there and Coolidge, I had to use every faculty I ever had learned to stay alive because of a young kid. You know how the motorcycle kids pass you at 120?
Yep.
Right? Okay, cuts in front of me. I'm going 70 in the middle lane. Cuts over in front of my whole point is, autonomous cars are not going to be able to react. And let me just say this. In subdivisions, right? Little Terrier, little Maya, I almost hit. I only drive 18, and she's 5 pounds. Don't tell me that. And then I got to go another half mile, and there's a big black bird feasting on roadkill. That autonomous is going to run it over. Okay, I go a little farther, and then the deer runs through, right? So
okay,
kids come out from behind the automobiles. There are many kids in my neighborhood who are from different nationalities. They don't think.
Here's the other thing, Paul, though, to consider. And I want to move on, so we got some of the other folks with tech questions here. But anyway, one of the things that they have is this LDAR?
LIDAR.
LIDAR, which is a radar that looks ahead. Am I right on that?
Right.
You know, that's one of the things that the autonomous vehicles are able to take advantage of, so they really can see much further than we can. And so when you got some knucklehead, Ed, you and I were driving down here today. Well, we had three vehicles that went past us. You were probably doing about 70. They went past us at least at 90.
More
than that, probably, zipping in and out. The autonomous vehicles, if they're properly outfitted with, you know, the things like the LDAR and the other technologies.
Yeah, standard radar and cameras and
right. All they'll the see necessary. That coming well ahead of anything.
Or if it's working properly, the other vehicles in the area that are also autonomous will report that there's erratic behavior drivers coming forward from behind you.
Yep. I think there'll be generally a greater sensitivity to what's going on in the traffic than there is right now. All right, here's the number again. 1-800-859-0957. And Walter, we got a break coming up in just a moment, and we're going to get back to you, and we want to take some time to understand and answer your question as well. If folks out there, if you have got a question for us, this is a good time to get in here. We have some lines open at 800-859-0957. By the way, for those of you who have got young people going back to school and you're looking for some tips, next week, Rick Broida, who is a gadget guy, and also the Cheapskate is going to be with us here in studio for our entire program. And I'm looking forward to that. It's always a ball when he's coming in here.
Oh, yeah. He's better. Vince is great. But, you know, Rick's great, too.
Yeah. So. And it's going to be a lot of fun because he brings
a lot of kibitzing. I mean, we just,
exactly.
Yeah. We have great
Rick
relationships.
Broider? Yeah. Kibitz?
Yeah. He might even bring,
some gadgets.
Drones.
Yeah.
All right. Standing by for your calls again at 800-859-0957. Back in just a little bit to start the second half of this question and answer part of the Internet Advisor. Hang on. Time for us to get back on the phone and say hello to Walter, who is with us from Ohio. Walter, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have maybe a series of questions about UPSs, uninterruptible power supplies.
Yeah.
If you know about those. I'm pretty sure that if I want a long run time, if I want it to stay up for hours instead of minutes,
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to have to pay for the batteries that allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But in the other areas of UPSs, I don't know if I'm being sold a bill of goods or what. I don't know I have a whole variety of different pieces of equipment, and I imagine I'm going to be buying pieces of equipment in the future. I don't know if I need pure sine wave output or double conversion or line interactive or online. There are various terms that are not very not very clear in my mind.
Yeah.
And of course, the prices are all over the waterfront.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm getting a good deal.
Yep.
Or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to guess, Ed, that the more backup time you get, the bigger the battery.
Yeah, the more lead, the more metals are in the batteries. That's what you're really paying for. The electronics usually do not change in UPSs unless mm-hmm. you're getting a base model. You know, you can get one that has 5 or 10 minutes, just enough time to shut down your computer without crashing.
Mm-hmm.
What type of equipment were you going to be hooking up to this? Desktop, laptops, TVs? I mean, what type of TVs were
you... Yeah, that's right. Desktop, laptop, mm-hmm. The base unit on my telephone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you? What's the purpose? Why are you considering getting a UPS? Do you have a lot? Are you using it to protect your equipment in case of a brownout or power failure, or are you? Do you suffer a lot of power failures? I mean, why are you interested in getting this equipment?
Right. I run some PCs. Continuously.
Okay.
Okay.
And while here in Berea, the power failures are not frequent.
Mm-hmm.
They do happen a few
sure.
times, a couple, three times a year. I don't mm-hmm. know. Enough yeah. to be really annoying.
Yes,
that's true.
Yeah, I imagine that. Yeah. And Ed, you live in the country too, so I imagine you probably face some of this too.
Oh my gosh. Until last year, when Edison finally came through and trimmed a bunch of trees, and thank God they did, but that was only after the citizens in the area, after we went through a Christmas for 9 days without power.
Ooh,
in Ortonville.
Yikes.
That, and where we're at, that they finally did something. And our power has been great, but my I don't have a UPS, but I have a generator, and I think I have almost 1,000 hours on it. Easily
wow.
in the 10 years I've had it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because that's how many we lost power for days. I mean,
no, why don't you have a UPS then as a backup? Or do you?
No, I don't have a UPS because all my equipment's our laptop. So when we suffer a power failure, I just do shut down.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
not running anything continuously.
Yeah.
Now, if you had a desktop, that's different.
Yeah. And what you're describing, Walter, is a situation in which you've got desktops. It sounds like a number of desktops that you want to make sure they keep on running. Are they like servers?
No, they're just busy with numerical calculations.
Okay, I got you.
Gotcha.
Okay. I got you.
The
okay.
The thing that you seem to have to pay a lot for mm-hmm. is pure sine wave. And I read a couple of things. I think maybe something at Tom's Hardware and maybe
mm-hmm. some,
I don't know, some other expert. Saying the only way to know if you require pure sine wave or full sine wave is to test it out. Well, this is a UPS. How do you test a UPS? I mean, it's pretty complicated. And
well, I mean, you just test the output on it. Basically, does Edison provide you a pure sine wave? It's pretty close to a pure sine wave.
Yeah.
Because what we're talking
about... Could you explain that for people who are listening right now who might not know what we're talking
think
about?
Think of an S sideways. So what it does, it's a voltage that goes from 0 to 120 down to 0. I'm sorry. Yeah, and then down... No, I'm sorry. Up 60, down 60, up 60, down 60.
Yep.
So it alternates...
It's that wave.
It's that wave that alternates from 0 to plus 60 volts, mm-hmm. 0 to minus 60 volts. But together, they equal 120 volts.
Yep.
And it does that 60 times a second. And some UPSs... When you purchase them, they actually have sawtooth type of sine waves. It's
right.
not a gradual thing.
Right, that's what I understand.
Okay, but most computer equipment conditions that voltage, and then you don't need true 120 volts because it's converting it. The power supplies in computer equipment converts it to 12 volts and 5 volts. And
well, the question
volts.
Is whether the power supply can deal with the
sawtooth. Yeah,
the sawtooth exactly.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, manufacturers are not very forthcoming about what waveform their equipment requires, their power supplies require.
But it doesn't sound like... And by the way, Walter, I'm going to need to wrap this up so I can move on to another call that's waiting here. But
if I was running a refrigerator or something like that, I probably wouldn't want too much of that. I mean, it depends if it's a motor or, you know... I haven't delved in that in a long time. You bring up some interesting questions, but I'm not an expert.
Let me ask you if you know about people's experience with this sort of thing. do we know, are there people out there who just have various equipment running and they're perfectly happy with these inexpensive ones that don't provide the full sine wave?
Well, you know what we can do, Walter, is ask, and we'll do that right now.
Yeah.
If somebody's out there who has dealt with this with their UPS, give us a call at 800-859-0957 and let us know what your experience is.
And some of the most common one you're going to find for general consumption is APC. That's what you find in all the stores. But there are a number of companies in Michigan that provide backup generators, right, for whole buildings as well as backup power supplies. And if one of those people are in the area, they might be able to call into the radio station.
Yep. And you can also go on to Amazon, obviously, and take a look at what they're offering. You mentioned APC.
Also YouTube. You can watch YouTube videos and get their evaluation.
Another good place to look.
There might be some experts on there that have evaluated, like Consumer Reports, or some individual that basically is doing the same thing you are. I need to find a UPS for my computers that I just, for my household. And I want a decent one, but I don't want to spend a lot of money.
And I'm going to suggest also check the reviews on Amazon as you're looking at the different pieces of
equipment. If you're not a subscriber, you can look at the reviews.
Yes, yep, exactly.
Yeah,
you mentioned Tom's Hardware, by the way, another good place to go. Walt, I'm sorry, I got to wrap this.
I've read a lot of these reviews, and they all seem to be very vague.
Okay, well, we're at the end of the time, though. I can give you, because we've got a number of other people. I want to make sure we get to them.
But interesting question, yeah.
You've asked a good question, and one we don't often get. So I'm going to ask if we've got callers out there or people who are listening who have experience with a UPS under uninterrupted power supply and can give us some of your insights that you do exactly that. So thanks for giving us a call, and we're going to make sure that we keep our phone lines open, and Eric, our engineer, is going to be looking carefully for that as well. Let's go to Blake from Royal Oak. Blake, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Okay,
sure.
Let's go quickly to it. I got a cable provider, and it provides me a bundle, internet, phone, and cable TV. And right. I want to get rid of the phone, and I hear things like Grasshopper and all that because I'm trying to save money. And, I have to buy a special modem that the company provides if I'm going to have, because I want to keep our landline. That's the whole.
Are you going to keep the cable?
Pardon me?
Are you going to keep cable TV?
Yeah. Yeah.
What you want to do is get rid of the phone. What's more than likely, you may or may not be able to transfer the existing phone number. Is there any reason why you actually have to have a home-based phone number? Because my wife and I struggled with this years ago, and it was because, well, that's the phone number the kids have. And basically, and everyone knows us by that number. We went through the painful transition of like, hey, we're giving it up. We're giving charge,
and
we're using cell phones. I'm sorry,
yep.
And we're going to save that $33 or $25 for our internet phone.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, then the internet service providers they hack you because you're not bundling anymore. And I just have internet and cable. You know,
I found, for instance, with Comcast, I think that they
for 1 year, they will reduce your rate.
Yes.
And
you get the whole package. So, for instance, I didn't start out using the phone.
Right.
But then I found I needed a fax line every now and then.
Right.
And rather than going to e-fax, what I decided to do was to simply add on the phone line. It didn't cost me anything extra.
Right.
It was just part of the bundle.
Right. And there are well, what's the name, but not Cricket. What's the other one that you just, Magic Jack? There was that company.
Vonage was one,
and then there was Magic Jack, which basically was even simpler than that. You just plug it into an electrical outlet, and then it had a wireless adapter.
Right.
And then you plugged your phone into it anywhere in the house, and then that was your home line. I'm not sure if Magic Jack is still around.
All right. Have we given you some things to chew on here?
I've had the discussion with my wife, and she just doesn't want to. Some of her customers are clients, and she can't get rid of it yet. So I was just looking.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, because it's a business.
And it's just, like I said, I thought maybe there'd be an IPO or a voice over internet that I would buy separate from the cable company that would save me more money, because it seems like the cable companies will give you the phone, but then they always have to ensure that you know, you've got 911 service and emergency.
Right.
And
we're heading to a break right now.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you hang on? We'll put you on hold, and we can maybe talk a little bit more about this in just a minute as well. I was just looking into this the other day. It's a VOIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol. That's something to look into as well. Back in just a minute to answer some more questions. Welcome back, and thank you very much again, Eric Dortch, for being our engineer and producer as well, doing a great job there. Unsung heroes, one of the unsung heroes behind the glass, as we say. By the way, don't forget that you can get the podcast for this program on Sunday nights. Generally speaking, we'll have it taken care of at that point, edited and posted for you, and you can listen to it there. You can also subscribe to us at Internet Advisor Podcast feed, and that's through iTunes. All right. And then we're also on the PodcastDetroit.com network. Good. All right. Let's get back out to our phone calls and say hello to Joanne from Ohio. Hi, Joanne. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you?
I'm very good. What can we do for you, ma'am?
Responding to the gentleman, I had the questions about the UPSs.
Oh, yes. About the UPS. Go ahead.
Very quickly, I've dealt with UPSs all the way from desktops to large data center units. The difference between an online and an offline, the online unit is constantly running off power and charging the battery, and you're constantly running off the battery. The offline unit is essentially sleeping until the power drops, then it fires up and the battery kicks in. Mm-hmm. For that offline unit, there's a period of about 10 milliseconds where your load doesn't have any power. For most computers, that's okay. For very critical data center stuff, that's probably not, and you need an online UPS.
Okay.
The other thing, most desktop computers can deal with a stepped sine wave power output.
Oh, that's the one we were talking about where the it's chopped off. Yeah.
Right. It's an approximated sine wave, or they call it stepped sine wave.
I got you.
Use a number of those, and they're just fine. And those are fairly inexpensive. Going back to the online versus the offline, the online ones are better in terms of the load will never see the power drop, because it's always running on battery 24/7.
Right.
The downside is they cost more and they wear out faster because they're constantly running.
Yes.
Whereas the offline ones are essentially sleeping until the power drops.
Mm.
That's excellent.
This is, Joanne, thank you so much. Is this part of your work portfolio?
Yes.
Okay, just out of curiosity, typically how did they sell units? Are they still sold in, was it KVA or, you know, how many hours or... You know,
typically, the industrial units are always spec'd in KVA. The units you find in computer stores are typically ranked in a number of hours and the wattage, total wattage for the load.
Okay. So if a user is has, like he said, a couple computers, each computer is probably 400 watts of the desktop. A laptop is probably, you know, 100 watts at most. And then a TV is also probably 100 watts, maybe a little bit more, depending on the size. So he could probably get away with a 1,000 or 1,500 watt unit, and then he just has to then pick the duration of time he wishes that to have online, basically.
Now, I would derate that a little bit. If you need 1,000 watts of backup, buy 1,300 watts or a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm. Right, you're talking about the 70% thing, where you want to be running
exactly.
At 70%. Okay. Excellent.
Exactly.
Joanne, thank you so much. You were a wonderful example of what happens when we tap the resources that are the folks out there in the audience who are experts in this and certainly can help us with answering some questions. So great job, Joanne. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. I love that. Our audience.
I'm glad you put that call out there. That was great.
That was really good.
And
right.
Re-educated me.
Yeah.
You can edumacate me.
Edumacate. All right. Tom from Detroit, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Glad to have you on. What can we do for you?
Hi, guys. I just want to share a quick tip with you as well.
Okay.
I'm one of those guys that ported a phone number, a 50-year-old phone number from a landline over to my cell phone on a Verizon. And I've used that ever since. I've done that. My wife and I, for the same reason you were saying, the kids had the number. Everybody else had the number. It's been on there for 50 years. Everybody knew it. Doctors,
50 years.
Dentists.
Wow.
And so I said, I want to see if I can't port that number over to Verizon. And they said, I don't know why you can, but we'll try it and see. And sure enough, it did. And I've been using it for, 5 years.
Oh, that's great. I was given a lot of hard time by Verizon actually doing ours and trying to relinquish it to, but this was 10 years ago. I got so much grief. I'm so glad that you were successful in that.
Yes, and I still do. So I just wanted to share that with you. That it was successful for us, and we've been using it ever since. Sometimes you get a lot of the robocalls still, but then again, that's the beauty of having a cell phone. You can just push it over and say, okay, I'm not going to answer that one.
Yeah, block phone number.
Yeah, and you can block the phone number too. It really is handy.
Exactly. That's the other good thing. I have to say that.
That really, really is handy.
You know, I wish the phones. That mobile phones let me block anything that ends in, 248-392 star.
There you go.
And all the thousand numbers after it.
You know what? That's a good tip.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's my $1 million I'm not going
to
get.
I listen to you guys religiously every time I can, and I've gotten so many good things and good tips from you guys. It's you provide such a wonderful service. I'm glad you're out there.
Thank you so much.
You're quite a blessing.
Thank you for being part of that blessing to people out there and sharing.
Yeah, giving back.
Yeah, Tom. Thanks a million for being here. I love it. Take care of yourself.
Keep up the good work.
All right, thank you. That number, by the way, we still have time for maybe one or two more calls. So if you're hanging back there and think, I don't know if I can get my call.
And I have to, Blake that called in.
Yes.
Him and I were talking about that phone number. Unfortunately, he was going on. He wanted to talk about autonomous vehicles.
Oh, yes.
But we were going into coming on air, and I had to, unfortunately, he didn't hear me whispering, I got to hang up. And I hung up on him. So.
Right,
so I hope he heard that call from Tom.
Yes, we certainly hope you did. Okay. Again, we've got 800-859-0957 in time for one more call. You mentioned Magic Jack, and I hadn't heard that name for a long time.
Yeah.
Then I'm looking at the website now, and
they're still there.
What's the principle for it? How's it work?
It plugs into the side of a PC, basically, and allows your PC to become the phone. So you could take it. You could take it anywhere in the world with you or in the country. And even when you're going traveling, you'll have your phone number with you. That's one that's one option you could possibly try.
Very interesting. Okay.
But it's been a that's dated. I like Tom's idea. If you can get them and you can get even a pay as you go phone possibly or change one of your other phones and go cellular. If you can port your old 50-year-old phone number to a cell phone, that sounds like the way to go. Make his wife pay for it with her small business. that's what I'm saying. And then maybe I can get HBO on my cable and save that $36 a month.
I know, Ed, you were mentioning before, I said something just before we went off here about VOIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol. That used to be kind of offered as a separate service, but you're saying basically that all phone calls are VoIP.
If it's being provided by your internet service provider, that's VoIP. So yeah. It's coming through your cable box. So that's voice over IP networking. Yeah. So, I mean, Charter, Comcast, WOW, they all offer it. They want to bundle it.
Mm-hmm.
So they want you to get that service and get rid of your old-fashioned landline, which never actually lost power.
Was POTS, what they call it.
Yeah, POTS.
Plain old telephone service.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Comcast was great when they first released, when they first started offering cable voice over IP with the phone numbers. Their cable boxes where the phones plugged into actually had a battery in there like a laptop. So that if you did lose power, your telephone would still work because your cable modem still worked.
Yes.
And for that 30-minute period of time or if you lost power.
Mm-hmm.
Most people I talk to now, that's like an option. It's not the default anymore.
Tell me, what is the advantage? Is there an advantage over having a POTS line, the plain old telephone service? I'm going to guess if there's a power outage, it's still there.
No, you had your old ones. Remember having to pay for long distance phone calls?
Yeah,
and remember
when? Yeah.
Not too many people have done have lines anymore. You get a service and you might be paying like $46-$50 a month just for your POTS line, right? Especially if you got U.S. phone calls and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit of bundling of maybe having $33 a month for that is about you were saving 10 years ago. You were saving, $20, $30 a month.
But you still have an advantage, don't you, with the plain old telephone service, where the copper wires, et cetera. You have the advantage that if there is a power outage in the area, you still are connected to the phones?
Yeah, at the time, yeah. I mean, unless something hit the telephone company's substation. But, yeah, that was the advantage.
So for emergencies, you could still be hooked up.
Yeah. Well, with a cell phone.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You have your cell phone.
And that's why so many people, us included, you too, have gone to making your cell phone your primary call.
Right.
And we heard today, you know, somebody calling in and saying, don't worry about being able to take your old phone number with you. This one fellow that called in had it for 50 years. Boom. He was able to take it right across.
Yeah, move it to a cell phone. That was a great idea. At the time when I tried it, they didn't allow that. But they're playing nicer now, I hope.
Hey, folks, a great show today. We had help from our listeners. We've got some just an interesting, fascinating conversation about autonomous vehicles. Certainly not the end of that conversation. There's going to be lots more of that. Coming up next week, don't forget, it's the Cheapskate himself, Rick Broida, will be in studio here with us. And we'll be talking also about back-to-school sales. Eric Dortch, thank you so much for your service. Eddie, good being with you. And Cal, thank you so much for being here as well. Don't forget to look for the Internet Advisor.